Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Wrestling Soup. I am Anthony Missionary Thomas. He is Joseph E. Numbers.
Ahoy, hoy.
How you doing, buddy?
Back at it, man. Fucking Royal Rumble now. Feels like it was many moons ago.
It does.
And Jesus, yeah, back to the soup. Stoey's day.
Yeah. How you doing with the weather? Are you guys getting dumped on yet anymore? Or you guys fucking...
Supposedly we're getting something tomorrow, but yeah. This is just annoying to me at this point. Because I'm looking at it from the perspective of the fucking winter is just I know February is awful, but there's a part of me that wants it to slow down at this point.
Well, I think it is done. Dude, I fucking laughed my ass off. So what was it earlier in the week? The groundhog that determines whether we get more winter decided to up and die.
Oh, Punxsutawney Phil died? Yes. Is that what happened?
Yeah, Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is, isn't that kind of like fitting for what's gone on like already this year? Where she's like, oh, here comes the new year. What a fucking strange start already. We're sitting there, we're going, all right, so Betty White is like
away
from 100. Betty White dies. Right?
Betty White, Bob Saget, and the Groundhog. Jesus Christ, right. Joe.
All like, and you're like, oh yeah, you guys all like fucking Betty White? She's really sweet, right? You're like, yeah, she's the best. Well, now she's dead. You guys all like Full House? Remember Danny Tanner? Oh, what a guy, huh? America's dad. Well, guess what? He's fucking dead now, too. Hey, what's he getting? What's going on? We want that winter to end. Oh, yeah. Let's get that winter ending so we can get back maybe to pulling these masks off and living life a little. Well, now the fucking groundhog's dead, too. So what are you pricks going to do next? What's going to happen now? I'm like dying to know how this is going to keep rolling along. Oh, and by the way, the Cincinnati Bengals are in the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
Can we make this year more weird to start out with?
Well, next year, Detroit's going to win it. You know, that's what Vegas is saying. So,
oh Jesus, yeah, put $5 down on that. If they win, you'll be a trillionaire. Holy fuck!
Yeah, it's been a weird fucking couple of weeks, but obviously, opening up the show with Shane McMahon's theme for "Here Goes the Money." There goes the money, Joe. There goes the money.
There he goes.
Shane McMahon officially removed. Is that the right word to say? Removed, fired.
Yeah, they put his shit in a box and kicked it out the door, I think, right?
It's something like that. Yeah, so Shane McMahon officially was reported as being let go from WWE and will not be participating in either the Elimination Chamber nor at WrestleMania. The news follows a chaotic Royal Rumble where Shane McMahon was one of the unofficial producers of the men's Royal Rumble match, which underwent a ton of changes up until the very last minute, largely with Shane McMahon changing ideas and trying to override his father. Shane was not seen in a good light on Saturday, and his constant changes, some of which to make him look good as well, created several backstage heat among other producers, creative writers, and even wrestlers. McMahon was not an employee and had no other ties to the company except for a performer contract.
Ooh. You know how this story, you know how I feel about this story is, you ever seen a commercial for like Jif peanut butter?
Sure, yeah.
You've seen those before, right?
Was it Crazy Moms Love Jif?
Something like that? Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's Munchausen Moms Love Crunchy Peanut Butter. No, that's actually an Eminem song. But no, you know, they spread the peanut butter back and forth on the bread and they make it look so good.
Yeah. Right?
That's how I feel about the story. Like, I'm like, I can just keep go back and forth with so many different ways of looking at this. Because, I mean, first and foremost, if you want to kind of play the devil's advocate in the situation, me and you and John talked about this on Saturday. The bulk of the people that were in that match were nobodies, low-card fucking idiots,
yeah.
And people that shouldn't have fucking been in the company, let alone in this Royal Rumble match. Mm-hmm. So Shane sitting there and writing something for himself where he's like, all right, listen, I got to fucking make myself look like the star in this situation.
Oh, thank you.
He's not fucking super far off.
Thank you, dude. Thank you for fucking saying that. Because yeah. Look, the response through social media has been very critical and then super forgiving over the course of 72 hours. The yeah. way that people had viewed Shane ruined the Royal Rumble with his changes. Did he? Was Shane the one that picked all the fucking talent to be in this fucking thing? Because if that's what he did, then yeah, he sucked
the past decade. Because it's really sucked the past decade.
Not even just that. If we're just going to fucking abide by the rules of what Shane is known to have fucked with, right? Was Shane responsible for the way people came? Was Shane responsible for the people that were hired to come in? Like, that's my big thing. I don't care if Madcap Moss came in at number 2 or number 20. I didn't give a shit. Madcap Moss sucks. Get rid of him. There was nobody that was like, oh, this could be Madcap Moss's year. You know?
Which, by the way, now this guy who is legitimately a comedy character.
Right.
Has been booked in some sort of feud with Drew McIntyre or Drew McIntyre's kid. So it's like, there's so much bad shit going.
But
if you wanted to sit down and be like, oh, I'm so mad at fucking Shane McMahon, you're like, dude, you got a lump.
Oh, they were. No, they totally were. They were fucking blaming Shane McMahon on fucking Saturday and Sunday. It was nothing but, look, Royal Rumble sucked. Guess it was Shane's fault. And then they were talking about, like, the rumors that were leaking out. That article was very, very nice to Shane McMahon, because the shit that I was reading via social media was Shane was in the back with a kendo stick just beating people and children and swinging on women. I swear to God, he shoved somebody's head in a toilet at some point and said, you will lose at the Royal Rumble. And he just flushes over and over and over again. Might have been Drew, I'm not sure. But
yeah, he's sitting there. He's like, yeah, you know what's going to happen is I'm going to go in there and I'm going to fucking jump up. You're going to give me all your finishes. I'm going to jump up into the air because I'm Shane.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
I hate to once again reiterate greater than, less than type conversation as far as like Shane McMahon, as far as like being over or known with this crowd.
Yeah.
But now that we have this list of entrants, I think we can do this fucking pretty fast, okay?
All right.
So just say more or less as far as, is Shane more over or less over?
Oh, right? This will be a fun game. Okay.
Right, this will be easy. All right. Ready? AJ Styles.
Less.
Shane is less over. Yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Less.
Do you think Shane is less over than Shinsuke?
Maybe more. Okay, more.
Shane's more over.
Sure.
Austin Theory, more. Currently?
More.
Robert Reed, more.
Keep going. More. Ridge Holland, more.
More.
Montez Ford,
more. More. Damian Priest.
Now,
I'd say equal to.
Equal or maybe less, only because it was only a year ago that he was working with Bad Bunny and got all that fucking exposure.
True. Slightly less.
For the audience that Royal Rumble attracted, I would say less. Because if we go by what Andrew Karlick said and all he saw was just a sea of children, the guy who worked with Bad Bunny is probably more over than the guy who fell off his shit in 1999.
Fair enough. Sami Zayn.
But Sammy worked with what's his name, and he was working with Johnny Knoxville, and he was working with the fucking Suicide Force kid.
I don't know. I might say they're equal kind of at this point. I'd still edge out Shane a little bit over Sammy.
Okay. Okay.
Still.
Yeah.
Johnny Knoxville.
Less.
It is what it is. I mean, maybe with that crowd, they'd be comparable, but
no, I think even our kids when they were fucking young loved watching the Jackass things. Even when they shouldn't have been watching it, they were watching it. So Jackass is one of those things that kids will watch. Yeah.
Angelo Dawkins.
Jawkins. Yes, you're right. Angelo Jawkins.
Angelo Jawkins. Angelo, not going to work here anymore. So obviously Shane, more.
Yeah, Omos is, Shane is more, but Omos is an absolute rising star, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, he's still not there, though.
He's not there, but he definitely was impressive that night.
All right, Ricochet, more. Jesus Christ, more.
Yeah.
Chad Gable, God love him, more. Dominic Mysterio, who shouldn't even be in a fucking anything, more. Mm-hmm. Corbin,
more.
Ziggler, more.
You know, the only reason Ziggler might get a pass is because he's been in the company for like 35 years. So right, maybe but the
people are fucking over.
Yeah, him, it doesn't matter. They know who he is.
Yeah, I guess
they know. It's like if you've ever watched wrestling, you've seen a Dolph Ziggler match at some point.
Yeah, I guess that could be
that equal. Could be, you know, fair. I'll give you equal. I'll give you equal on this one.
All right, yeah. That's all right. We can say they could be equal. I still say Shane. You know, beats him out by a little bit, but Sheamus,
more equal? Maybe equal.
I'd say Sheamus is equal.
Yeah, Sheamus has been around for fucking ever too. Yeah, equal is fair. Equal
to this crowd, to the modern crowd that's still watching it, I'd say they're probably comparable at this point.
Yeah.
Rick Boogs.
Yeah.
More.
More.
Madcap Moss.
More.
More. Riddle?
Less.
Like, real,
MMA? Yeah, he had kind of a career outside of WWE. Sometimes we forget that. And not only that, his time, especially with Randy Orton over the last 6 months to a year, has been pretty fucking popular, dude. Like one of the only highlights of the show.
Well, let me see if I can try to break this down. But between Riddle and him, though, here would be my guess. The difference would be if you were in line, or not you, but if Matt Riddle and Shane McMahon were in line at a Subway, not a Subway station, but to get a shitty sandwich, and someone said, "Hey, I recognize you."
Sure, but
Matt Riddle would be holding the camera.
But that's not a good example. If you brought both of them to Comic-Con, which one's going to have a longer line?
Probably Shane.
No.
I think Shane. I think Shane, dude.
Okay. I really don't. I don't think – I think that line would be 2-1 almost. 2 for Riddle, 1 to Shane. Not saying that Shane doesn't get love, but no, I think Riddle is
– I don't know. Fine. I'd say probably comparable. All right, so Drew McIntyre. This kind of hurts to say, but I'd say they're equal. Not even – I'd say Shane's bigger than Drew at this point. Let's be real.
No, he had that real good exposure when everybody was stuck inside. There was no sports on television. I thought that was a real good time for Drew. Because you couldn't possibly miss that ESPN and Fox Sports and CBS and everybody else. The only thing that they reported on was wrestling for about a good 6 weeks straight. So
yeah, that's definitely. No, I don't even think, dude. I think Shane is still more recognizable. I think Drew clearly looks like a star and should be a star and should be treated like a star because he's proved himself at this point over and over again.
Sure.
To the point that I was somebody that shit on Drew McIntyre for years.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at him going, all right, what more could this fucking poor guy do? At this point, you've just shit in his mouth. There's really, it's not his fault.
But this is all things we predicted during quarantine. This is exactly what we predicted during quarantine. Matter of fact, we even predicted that you would turn your feelings on Drew. You predicted it. I was listening back to one of our earlier episodes when we did the quarantine, which is on Patreon, self-plug. But we were talking about how damaging was it. Matter of fact, I think it was on the same episode with Solo Monster. It might have been the episode beforehand. But we were talking about the effect of having Drew as this lonely champion during this empty arena phase and everything else like that. And we made the jokes about fucking Taiwanese baseball teams and everything else like that. But we even said, this guy's going to get all of this shit for this entire fucking year. And it's going to keep him in the main event even afterwards. This is like one big favor that he did for Vince McMahon. And it's like at some point, you're going to turn around your feelings and feel like, ugh, this guy had to eat a giant shit sandwich for fucking 300 days out of a year during the worst possible fucking year ever. You know, like he almost becomes a sympathetic baby face to the internet wrestling community. Just because we know his entire run sucked.
You know what? If Drew McIntyre's here in 15 years or whatever, I won't even give this fucking guy a hard time.
No. Because
if anybody going through that pandemic that was on that television earned a fucking job for life through putting up with and doing what they did,
mm-hmm.
well, all of this crap was just like awful shows, yeah. trying his best to put on good matches. Like Drew really did. Like I said, he won me over in that situation because of it. But that said, I still think the McMahon name carries more weight.
Well, the McMahon, no yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
In this situation.
I agree. I think that he's sympathetic to us, but that doesn't mean he's a big star to the majority, because the internet wrestling community, as loud as they are, is still very small. So
yeah.
Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon.
I still think Shane's more.
More, yeah. totally. Rey Shane's Mysterio, more. Less.
Less. I mean, I would have to say, I might even say they're comparable, because Ray is obviously a big fucking star in wrestling, Shane is a big fucking star.
Shane's only a WWE guy, but Rey Mysterio was back in ECW and WCW. Rey Mysterio's on the cover of 2K22. I don't know, man. And not only that, you got to talk about the fanfare that we don't even really tap into for the most part, is the entire Mexican market.
That's you
know.
You see, that's one of those ones where you could have like there's no clear cut winner, I feel like, in that situation. Right.
I'll go with Ray over Shane. Yeah. I'll go with Ray over Shane only because I think internationally, for as long as he's been going, which is longer than Shane's been around, you know, I think he's made his name and his bones. Like, you could say Ray Mysterio to somebody that doesn't know wrestling, and while they might not fucking immediately pop their eyebrow out, like every time they hear Hogan or Brock Lesnar or The Rock, I think at the same time, you'll have a lot more people that recognize Rey Mysterio's name on that level.
Oh yeah, they'll know that. Well, they'll at least know the mask too.
Yeah,
the mask is a huge thing.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's see. Kofi, Les.
Yeah, Les, but they're trying. Boy, oh boy, they're trying to make Kofi a household name. They really are.
He's just not.
Yeah.
And I don't think he ever will be. And by the way, like, I don't want people to think, like, when I say that about a guy like Kofi, that I'm putting him even in the vicinity of like a fucking Madcap Moss or a
Rick Boos. Just talking about their popularity as far as what we're generalizing with wrestling fans and non-wrestling fans. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. This isn't
Otis. I mean, Jesus.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
I mean, unless you're a Mandy fan.
That's about it.
Biggie, another guy less. They tried to make a household name and
less.
Bad Bunny, less or more. Less.
More. Yeah. Bad Bunny's more just because of, I mean, Shane McMahon. Well,
actually, we flipped our script. It should be Otis is, or Shane is more popular than Otis. Shane is more popular than Biggie. Shane is less popular than Baddie Bunny. Yes.
Baddie Bunny. Well, no, but that's, I mean, it, when you take Bad Bunny into account, Shane McMahon does not have music videos with Drake where he's had 6 billion views. Like, it's just,
right.
You're not going to catch up to him. That's what that comes
is
down
to. Is Shane
to.
McMahon less or more popular than Shane McMahon?
Wow, that's some Confucius shit. Well, it depends. It's just like Hulk Hogan and his dick. That's two Hulk Hogan references.
But is it Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea?
Is it Shane McMahon the guy or Shane McMahon the wrestler?
Obviously. Shane McMahon via, well, let's say what, 2010 to 2022 versus Shane McMahon 1999 to 2005, 2004, something like that.
Now, dare I say, and this is where I could get, I might go off a little bit off the beaten path with this comparison, but I might say in their own way, they're kind of equal.
Okay.
And I only say that because of all the shit that he did in that time.
Right.
He was never going to be a big, big star because he was competing with these other people on the show. Like, Shane would be recognizable, but like, Shane is not going to be a big star when your show has fucking The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Foley.
But you're talking about Shane being interjected in those storylines back during when those guys were hot, because he was one of the fucking stooges in a way. You know, the Shane or the fucking McMahon Helmsley era with Stephanie and Triple H often had Shane with and against them. Vince often had Shane with or against him. Like, he was part of the Stooges. So even though you don't want to see matches with The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I digress, Once again, after 2010, Shane did have matches with The Undertaker.
And that's what Shane I was going to say. Shane
did have matches with Roman Reigns, you know?
Yeah, that's why they end up being, I think, equal, because you don't have 2010 without 1999, Shane. Right. And 1999 created that, legendary status of when he came back as the gray-haired, like, you know, Zaddy Avenger. Like, he was ready to fucking crush. And that's like, all right. Yeah, whatever. All right. So
yeah, this is a nothing burger of a question. Sorry about that.
I know. Well, anyways, so there's only two people left. And and if you end with these last two people, it almost sounds like the preceding 27 other human beings might have actually have stood competitively against Shane. But Randy, I'd say.
Oh, less. Shane McMahon is less popular than Randy Orton. Randy Orton is very popular.
Yeah, in the wrestling world, I'd say so. That's
and
fair.
Brock Lesnar, for sure. I mean, Jesus Christ, from every aspect, Brock Lesnar is more popular. Brock Lesnar is probably more popular than 95% of this roster. If not, and actually, Brock Lesnar is probably the most important person on this roster, with the exception of Bad Bunny and Johnny Knoxville.
And Shane's probably four. That's what I'm saying. That's what makes this so sad is, you know, people going like, oh, Shane's giving himself the spotlight or whatever. And you're like, well, maybe don't be mad at Shane.
Yeah.
Be mad at the fact that the 53-year-old boss's son somehow has more of an emotional attachment and has more of like an actual engagement with this audience than guys like Drew McIntyre and Big E and all these other people that you've tried to push for 1,000 years.
But you know what the weird thing is about all that? You sit there and you look at the WWE quarterly and yearly report that came out today, and you have to really sit back in awe. And we'll get to the numbers in a second, because I don't want to segue from this too far. But you have to sit back in awe. And with a Royal Rumble like this, to where all three of us with our different opinions on Sunday, and even Carluck and Kevin Castle on Tuesday when I talked with them, all five of us with our very different opinions on all of these wrestlers in this main event match, and WWE still is killing financially.
Oh, yeah.
People are acting like they're tuning out and they're done watching wrestling and Royal Rumble was the final straw or some shit. I'm sure somebody said some goofy nonsense like that. But at the end of the day, they apparently get it. They apparently get it.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
It goes back to an argument that you and I have discussed over the years, where wrestling fans are battered girlfriends and WWE is just an abusive fucking drunk boyfriend that comes home and cracks us over the head with a fucking bottle, fucks our asses, and then goes to sleep. And that's the relationship.
And all of the other sports and actual entertainment companies look at wrestling fans. I mean, could you imagine like a UFC audience?
Oh,
like imagine a UFC audience watching the Women's Rumble and you having to sit there and say to them, be like, no, this is good.
Right.
This is what I like. Meanwhile, what was it? The pay-per-view, the UFC pay-per-view 2 weeks ago, there was that huge fucking dude. Was he from Cameroon or however you say it? Like that giant, giant black dude who's, I think he's the heavyweight champion right now in UFC.
Yeah.
Francis, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last. Ngannou, is that it? Francis Ngannou? Yeah. That fucking guy looking like he could rip your fucking head off fighting in the middle of a ring. You're like, yeah, no, I can't watch that. I need to watch Kelly.
No. Flip it for the wrestling fans. So a guy like Ngannou wrestling Dominic Mysterio and losing.
right. Him selling for it. Like.
Yeah, right. And Dominic goes over clean, folks. Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, Mish, like, that's not far off from what the wrestling world seems to be presenting, though.
I understand that. But that's why I think that we're the battered fucking housewife. We're the battered girlfriends. We won't leave. Yeah. We have police knocking on our door every other fucking night. We're like, no, it's fine. I made a mistake and I accidentally ran into his fist 14 times, but that's okay. It's all right. WWE still loves me, you know, and it's,
you just
it's,
see like, you just see like the UFC sitting there and they're looking at WWE fans and they're just like, hey, so we have this friend. His name is Hulu. You should, you know, we should probably, we should hang out sometime all together. Oh no, he's not really my type. Oh, well, how about my friend NBA?
Dude, there
maybe
was,
check out my friend NFL. Like, let's, they're doing everything they can. It's like, you need to get away from this shit.
Well, there was this movie I watched the other day where I watched the beginning of it and I fucking left because it was silly. It was a Time Warner horror movie on HBO Max. And I think it was called Misaligned or Misanthrope or some shit like that. And the scene opened up with this couple inside this house. Oh, Malignant. Everybody knows where I'm going with this one, right? No, so I don't know if you've seen this movie. Have you seen it yet or no?
No, no. Okay. But by the name of it, it sure, certainly sounds like a 2000s horror movie.
Oh, it opens up beautifully, right? So it opens up kind of slow. And the wife and the hubby are in the house. And the hubby is a total drunk. Like, he's bitching at her and she's pregnant. She's like full on pregnant, right? And you see them getting into an argument and he fucking just face palms her and smashes her head into the wall so hard that there's fucking blood and brain matter on the wall while she slides down the fucking thing. And this is how WWE is with wrestling fans, because immediately afterward, he's like, oh, honey, oh, that was a mistake. That shouldn't have happened. Let me go clean you up. Let me go get you a Band-Aid or something. And he walks out the room. That is the way WWE treats its fans.
Who's the husband played by Tyreek Hill? Well, he's not in the Super Bowl. So, you know, whatever. He's great. What a good guy.
I heard that they wanted to get Teddy Hart, but he just wasn't available for the role.
Yeah, you know? he was busy. He was in jail that Chris Brown. Oh, good God. Well, no, but that's at this point. Yeah. They just keep fucking finding these different ways to make money. They have people like one of my good friends just fucking, he's winning big. He's been playing the fucking, he's been gambling on the football games this season and he's winning big. And he's like, he's saying to himself like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll go to the Super Bowl. And I said to him, I go, yeah, dude, you should go to this fucking Super Bowl. You're winning all this money. Like, go down. And by the way, you know, it's going to be the Bengals versus the Rams, right? Mm. So these two teams have a pretty fucking sparse fan base when it all comes down to it. Cincinnati's small. The Rams have 11 fans. Like, go have a fucking good time. And instead, Rhonda came back and he's like, dude, I'm going down to Dallas. I'm going to go see Rhonda. I'm like, you're crazy. Why are you doing this?
I was actually contemplating on going down there.
This show's going to suck.
I want to see Undertaker get inducted. I don't know. The kid in me, and I know that for most people, the Hall of Fame doesn't mean shit. It's just a nice little show. But the kid in me really wants to see Undertaker going to the Hall of Fame. I don't know. That's just my feeling on it. I don't. And don't get it twisted. It's not like I'm expecting WrestleMania is going to be the best ever this year. like that's not happening. I know there's going to be an Alexa Bliss match. Okay. I know that Liv's going to be in a match too. All right. I'm definitely not going, ooh, can't wait to see them. But the idea of seeing Taker get inducted in fucking Texas, that seems kind of cool.
Man. Yeah. I mean, well, that's it. It's they're going to find ways to give you these like moments. Like you said, it's like the smack you around husband.
Right.
You know, he's going to knock you down the stairs, but he's going to come home the next day with your favorite fucking, you know, dinner or whatever. Like, oh, look, I got you a pizza. He's like, see, he loves me. Mm-hmm. Look, he brought home the Undertaker. That means he likes me still. But no, like, dude, by the way, speaking of Alexa Bliss, like, they're still, I told you I got through an hour of Raw. It was fucking miserable.
I'm so sorry, dude. Yeah, it was a real bad Raw this
they're time. Still doing this thing with Bliss. This thing is still going on.
Yeah, because apparently Bliss is a big time merch seller, which we do know. We do know that that is a fact. But they apparently want to give some substance to Bliss.
She sold plenty of shirts when she was just the blonde chick that was like whatever the fuck she was going for. I don't know.
Yeah, but now she's selling. Now whatever, she's selling. fucking dolls to wannabe goth girls. Like, that's dude, that's the MO now. And boys that want to be goth girls, you know. So,
I don't get it, because there's so many things that they drop it. It's done. It's gone. Big E. Oh, we're going to fucking push Big E. He's going to be like our, like, big dominant. Like, he's going to be our, you know, like our, you know, one of the figureheads of the company. He's going to be this, like, you know, African American superstar. And then he's like done in 6 days.
Right.
But Alexa Bliss with her fucking dolly, with her corpse paint on, by the way, like,
dude, and we talked about that.
What the fuck?
Corpse paint. It works. It works for her. I get it. She's dead inside, so she has to look dead outside. I totally understand the feeling. If Mish could wear makeup in 2022, he'd probably look like Alexa Bliss.
Well, no, this too, and I hate to be all Joan Rivers about it too, but yeah. I had the TV on, and she came on, and I'm like, dude, they put the HD camera on her. I'm like, her skin looks terrible.
Yeah, well, it's all that cake.
I, you know, I hate to be like, oh, look at your skin, but like, it fucking is distracting.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, you're not supposed to pay attention like that. You're supposed to be looking at her boobies and her booty and stuff like that.
As she tells me about, you know, like, I still, you know, believe in Dolly.
Yeah.
Dolly is
gone. Well, that whole thing. Bad. Dude, why is her fucking therapist dressed up like Johnny Cash every week? What the fuck is going on with that? Why does he look like, you know, Undertaker Druid number 13 going down to the fucking ring every week? That guy is a straight up, like, if I walked into, just imagine you walked into a therapist office and that's the way he looked. This guy is going to try and sort out my feelings and my emotions, yet he's dressed to go to a Typo Negative concert.
Well, do you know what? I think that they should really think about disbarring this therapist, because why is he allowing his sessions to be filmed like this?
Right?
That's very
unethical. Isn't that patient confidentiality? Blah, blah.
Right? Yeah. Like, well, no, honest to God, I think that this would be better and they would have the potentiality of actually making this more interesting without Alexa on the screen, and you get an actual actor to play her therapist. You don't show the sessions, because that just is completely unrealistic and makes no fucking sense. And you have somebody, you know, speak to the therapist, have them check, find a fucking Donald Jesus. Pleasance type guy. You know what I mean? Like, find somebody that can actually act and interview them and have it talk about, like, so what's been going on with Alexa? And he's like, you know,
or hey,
you
know, here's a crazy idea.
Darkness to her, or something like that. You need somebody else to get her over. You
know? Get an actual therapist. Why not? Get an actual fucking therapist. And I'm not saying for him to actually fucking analyze her, but if you wanna convey the cloud of realism, why not have somebody who's real play the part? You're telling me that out of all the people that want to act in the world, none of them happen to be therapists as their side gig? You know what I mean?
Because you know what makes that funny to me is just, like, you know, the American healthcare system right now is really struggling and, you know, mental health, you know, care professionals are hard to come by. But we can get them for this segment.
They should have brought back
for Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, they should have brought back Dr. Shelby. I agree with everyone. From what I understood, and this was a Reddit thing that I saw a while back when this whole Alexa Bliss shit even started, apparently Dr. Shelby has some issues with WWE. Apparently there's some kind of, like, I don't know. I don't even know. That's all that was said, is that Dr. Shelby can't work with WWE anymore.
Well, that's great. They had somebody who was a good character actor that seemed to understand how to get over their god-awful, terrible writing and, you know, what is usually 90% terrible acting. And they probably just didn't pay the guy and dicked him around.
Well, yeah, there he is. So that's I remember that. Phil with fucking Sasha and Bailey.
Yeah, dude. That sucks.
Yeah, they fucked it up. But so on the Shane McMahon thing, just throwing this out there too. Yeah. The buzz went around, obviously, once he was released, that Shane McMahon is all elite.
Oh, come on.
And boy, oh boy, those fanboys are taking it to new extremes. talking about how horrible WWE is and how Shane would be better off served in AEW. And I really kind of played with that idea in my head. And I'm thinking to myself, how would it be if Shane McMahon actually joined up with AEW? And I can only think that one of two scenarios would happen. The first scenario being everyone kissed his feet because he's a McMahon, and they expect Shane McMahon to make the kind of money that Vince McMahon and Nick Khan are making right now. And they would expect way, way too much from Shane McMahon, because as people seem to have forgotten, and me and you actually covered back in the day too, in 2012, Shane McMahon tried to coup d'etat on WWE. He had some kind of a crazy meeting with various people and various heads. Kevin Dunn was involved along with Shane or Stephanie and Triple H. And he was trying a hostile takeover of WWE in 2012. And it didn't work. It failed, obviously, ultimately. But you wonder if AEW people, if they did hire Shane McMahon, would they want Shane McMahon to be that kind of a person that runs the company like WWE did? Now, the first negative I see from that is that the AEW fans will hate it. They would hate AEW to turn into a WWE clone.
They'd compare him to Vince Russo. I guarantee it.
Maybe in some ways.
He's going to come in and Vince Russo, the company, and try to book things that make sense.
Yeah, maybe.
Ruin the whole thing.
But on the flip side, the negative side to it would be if they hired Shane McMahon and all they did, everybody took out their hatred of Vince McMahon on Shane. He would just be a verbal whipping boy for everyone, from the fans to the staff to former wrestlers. Like, you wonder, how would that play out? Because either way, I see it as being a bad thing. So for all these fanboys that are like, oh man, Tony Khan should hire Shane McMahon, that's the last person you want in that company.
もうすぐレスリングスープが始まるから、いい子にしててね。
I like that shirt.
ProWrestlingTees.com/WrestlingSoup.
That is the absolute last person, because either they're going to take his ideas, which synonymously happen to be WWE ideas, or you're just going to beat this man into the dirt and just fucking hate him anyways, you know?
Well, this to me is ultimately, like, we've already seen this happen in this company multiple times with all of the people that they've brought in, and they're different agents, and, you know, this guy and that guy. It doesn't matter who you bring in as a coach. If you don't want to be coached, you can't be coached.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it doesn't fucking, so what? If you want to, dude, if you want to learn to, you know, we were talking about the MMA guy earlier, right? If you want to fucking learn and you have Anderson Silva come in and he's like, I got to teach you Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like, you're going to get good because you're going to get coached by someone who's great at Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But if you fucking, you know, want to sit around and fucking eat ho-hos and ding-dings and do whatever the fuck you want to, I hate to use such stereotypical examples of shitty food.
Oh, the ho-ho industry is terrified of what you're going to say right now, Joe.
Yeah, shout out to ho-hos. You know what I mean? Throwing it back to 1995. You want to sit around and fucking jam Dunkaroos in your ass.
Yo, man, I still got a Twinkie from 1985. It's still good.
Yeah, still good. You will fucking take shark bites and just jam them into your eye socket. Just snacks from 40 fucking years ago. No, but like, yeah, if you don't care, like, if you're unwilling to take that guidance, then it doesn't matter who the fuck's guiding.
Yeah.
Shane could go there. Fucking Paul Heyman could go there. And this company is so ridiculous. They'd be like, yeah, but what about fucking QT Marshall? We're just going to fire QT Marshall? Like, you'd be like, yes, you're going to fire QT Marshall.
Well, maybe that would be the smart thing, actually. Hire Shane into AEW. And then have Shane publicly fire everybody on TV.
Have Shane be the guy that fires
everybody. They just hire him to fire everybody. That way Tony Khan doesn't take heat. AEW doesn't take heat. It's that bastard Shane McMahon.
That would be so funny if he called him. He's like, how much do I have to pay you to get these people to leave? Hi, it's me, Tony. It's like when, you know, a bunch of kids come over and there's a big party and they're like, now the kids won't leave and they're wrecking the house. I want them to go.
They could make someone a weekly bit. They could totally make a weekly bit, have Shane have his own office, and people are just randomly called into his office and they leave crying. And then they go on AEW Twitter and say, Cody Rhodes has been removed from the company. We don't really care about his future endeavors. Fuck that guy.
You know? I would love if Shane like went to AEW, like, because they're just so on some level desperately trying to grasp any sort of like wrestling nostalgia in any capacity. Well, I mean, both companies are, but whatever. How funny would it be if Shane went to AEW and he was just like, you are fired.
Oh, my
like that's
God,
how he gets around the copyright. Instead of you're fired, you are fired.
Yes,
I am Shane.
And people are saying that all of Shane's ideas are bad. Shane had good ideas, but it's kind of like, and I hate to use the Vince Russo comparison, but it's like Vince Russo. He needed them corralled in. His whole idea of bringing Antifa out during the middle of the riots and then having them having real bum fights on WWE Raw, I was actually into that. I loved bum fights. Having Braun Strowman out there.
Overproduced bum fights.
But that's it's the like, problem. It was totally overproduced.
Yeah.
But I liked the idea. I thought that shit was amusing. I don't know if it makes for good wrestling TV. Maybe it tickled the wrong side of me. Like sometimes I enjoy wrestling for what it is, and then sometimes I really enjoy it for what it isn't. And those angles are absolutely for what they aren't. I enjoyed them because they were the campiness of wrestling. I think Shane is really good at that. I think Shane understands Godzilla movies, Power Rangers. He understands the silliness of wrestling without it being corny. Cause that riot gear, that the fucking T-Bar and Mace and Mia Yim and everybody dressed up first wearing sweatpants and fucking white socks was hilarious. Was fucking hilarious. It was god awful for TV and it didn't go anywhere. But I guess it did kind of go somewhere, but I don't know, man. Like he has good raw ideas that are fun. Inadvertently fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, this is also, you know, whenever anybody sits around and goes, this person has bad ideas or this person has good ideas or any of this other shit, it's like, it takes more than ideas. You have to have the players.
Yeah.
You have to have the people. And especially when you're producing something like this, where you're making a TV show, it goes right down to the person that's fucking recording the thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is it across the boards. You need an overhaul.
Yeah.
You clearly need things to improve on every level. It's no different than, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, and I'm sure anybody that's listening to this has also had this experience if they're kind of a music buff.
Yeah.
When the band had a first album or, you know, EP demo or whatever it was, and it was really raw and aggressive sounding, let's say. Where it sounded very like real and intimate, right?
Yeah.
And then the next thing, whether they get a big label, they go to a different producer, you hear it, and the production on it is just like, yeah. You know what I mean? Where you go, this is either it's too glossy and it's like they lost a part of who they were, or whatever they did to record this, like it just doesn't sound like the same thing,
right?
And you could say, well, you know, maybe the songs could be good, they might not be terrible songs, but whoever produced it made it bad.
Right. Well, we've talked about that before too, because we've seen horrible fucking songs that sound amazing because of production and vice versa. That's even like that with TV too. Like you'll have good wrestling and horrible production. It's a matter of mixing and finding the right people that fit for everything. And WWE, and we've said it so many times, live production is sometimes caca, and the post-production and the pre-production stuff, like the Brock Lesnar, Bobby stuff is amazing. They're all over the place. It's almost like you can see what the professionals worked on and you can see where the interns are. You know, and that's WWE. That's a company that is killing it financially right now. But
And they keep finding a way to do it, and nothing is improving.
Let me just throw out the numbers real quick, and then we can move on from this. The fourth quarter highlights for 2021, revenue for WWE overall increased by 30%. The operating income increased by 131%.
Jesus.
The OIBDA, I'm not really 100% sure what that is. I'm sorry. Increased by 90% at $97.2 million. They returned the capital to shareholders, totaling $59 million, including share repurchases and dividends paid. Here's the full numbers for the year for all of 2021. The entire company's revenue increased by 12%, you know, during this economic crisis, too, by the way, to $1.095 billion, the highest in WWE's history. Operating income increased 24% to $259 million. The OIBDA increased 14% to a record of $327.1 million. This is not a company that strikes me as wanting to sell, that wants to quit and wants to leave. I understand when people say that they believe that WWE is just building up the company that wants to leave. Totally, I can see that. I can see that in the short term, but this is over an entire year and they're breaking numbers that they've never broken before. If all of these numbers were just, oh, they're just squeaking into the black, they're doing just a little bit better than they were doing last year, I'd be like, yeah, there's definitely some meat on that bone. There's something to say that WWE is trying just hard enough to make their numbers look good, but they're not doing that, Joe. They're trying so hard that they're breaking their own fucking company's numbers. Well, they're making more money in this shit year. To give people an example, the year of 2021 did more money than the Attitude Era.
That's horrifying. It's horrifying when you put it into that context. But that's also it, too. Like when you say, oh, maybe they're going to sell, they're going to sell, they're going to sell. On some level, people who are involved in business, especially like bigger, high risk, whatever you want to say, business, like there's a gambler's mentality to that, in the sense of, if you keep spinning the roulette wheel and you keep winning,
why are you gonna fucking quit? Right? Yeah,
you're gonna keep spinning the wheel. And by the way, like, yeah, you know, once again, another gambling term: no risk it, no biscuit. Right.
Right. Right.
Like, they have to fucking do something. We're going to get rid of fucking Bray Wyatt and his $1 million contract. Well, what happened? Nothing.
Nothing.
They fired 75 people, and how has it affected them? They made more money? Okay.
Right. And that's only on the surface. I mean, a lot of the times we'll talk about some of the deals they made, like with Disney Plus and how they've expanded into new countries, even though they lost their deal in Japan. I really haven't even heard what happened after that. It doesn't even fucking matter. They lost a country and it doesn't even fucking matter. They lost a big country and it doesn't even a wrestling country. And it doesn't even fucking matter. That's how big this show is. And Nick's right. Like, media rights and stuff like that. Totally. And the fact that they know how to play the game. And not only that, I really have to appreciate, and this is something that people don't really talk about, but they're in bed with Fox. They're in bed with NBC and Disney. They're in bed with all of the biggest possible companies you could really be in bed with.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like any of these relationships are souring.
No.
It seems like they're all pretty happy with WWE too. Yeah.
Comcast too. Yes. Thank you, Jack. You're right. Comcast too. Dude, I mean, like, even if it was like, oh, well, there's clearly one buyer for WWE. I couldn't tell you who it was, because everybody has a connection to the company. All of these major conglomerates have a bet with the company. They have a bid with the company. There's a reason for them to all, even competitors, all want to see WWE succeed, because it means money in their pocket. Companies that fucking hate each other want WWE to succeed because it's money in their pocket.
And this is, once again, this is also a company that, I mean, what is this? You know the signs up there where it's like, you know, we've had 100 days without an accident.
Yeah.
WWE's had like, what, 30 days without some sort of fucking crazy something?
Right.
Like, this company is just so, for decades, has been littered with just scandals and horrible shit that's happened in every capacity.
Yeah.
And here they are making more money than they ever have. And if you're another person that's in one of these other big, you know, like Comcast, like you mentioned, or any of these other, like, you must look at them and go, Jesus Christ, how do you get that fucking,
right?
How do you, you're Teflon. You're fucking Teflon. How have you not gotten fucking taken down?
And
how?
here comes the kicker. And a majority of all these major changes are all under Nick Khan's watch.
Yeah.
You are listening to Wrestling Soup.
People want to sit there and shit on this guy, act like they can say anything. Because that was the other thing too, is, oh, Shane McMahon's fired. Nick Khan is going to fire. Nick Khan fired Shane and he fired Triple H. Nick Khan just wants to be Vince McMahon's son. Well, fuck. Vince McMahon wants Nick Khan to be his son too. With that kind of fucking
sure
money.
It sure seems like it, yeah.
Shit. When the fuck was the last time that Triple H brought Vince $1 billion?
Exactly. Well, that's it too. And like going back to when people sat around and, you know, oh, Triple H got fired. Like, you know, the old joke that we've had, you'll rue the day.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is Triple H? Being real.
I love Triple H.
100% real.
For what he did for NXT. Yeah. Go on.
And Mish, he made what? Like a Charlotte?
Sure.
Sasha kind of was a big star, like, but kind of, I mean, kind of, but we're really, when we stop and we break it down, he made a TV show for a very small group of fans that shrunk as it went along.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That's, this isn't being like, oh, you're being negative or trying to run him down. Like, no, like what legitimately happened was NXT got to a certain peak. And it over time got less and less and less and less and less, because up until they dismantled that brand, was I not sitting there saying to you, like, Jesus Christ, we're going to see fucking Johnny Gargano again? Like, what?
Right.
How many times are Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa going to like rip each other's dicks off and fucking jump off a cliff? Like, this gets old. This gets fucking old.
Well,
and that's inevitably going to happen to fucking AEW too. And nobody wants to hear that, clearly.
But you're hitting on the major point. The problem with wrestling, I guess a problem, or maybe just we're a couple of dinosaurs. Our fans are a bunch of dinosaurs looking at wrestling now and expecting it to have the same kind of appeal that it did in 1999. And not just Attitude Era people, but I use that as the example. I mean, even if you like 2006 better, whatever, the Ruthless Aggression era. We're looking back on what wrestling was and appreciating it more fondly because of how it enticed us and how it grabbed us and how we enjoyed the storylines and we enjoyed the talent side of the ring and we enjoyed the way things were set up and the big event feel and everything else like that. But clearly, we're wrong, because you look at these numbers and you look at the people that attend those shows, and the people that we call casuals are next generation's diehards. They're going to be the next generation of us, and they're going to be fighting for the product in 2019, just as hard as we were fighting for the product in 2006.
Oh man, I just—it really is funny when you stop and you look at the world and you imagine this time where you go, "My God, in 15 years, people are going to be sitting around going, this fucking guy, he's no Sheamus."
Yeah, right. This guy's no Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, look at this. Look at this asshole. He couldn't lace up fucking, right, you know,
Ricochet's boots.
Yeah, he's no Ricochet. Like, yeah, and yeah, that's the
Dominic nature. Mysterio is the best wrestler today.
Dominic Mysterio finally figured out how to do incline benches and stopped looking like he was 6 and a half
years old. But that's what it is. That's what I see. And when WWE does things like NXT 2.0, I don't look at it like, oh, it was WWE's way of saying, fuck Triple H. I don't. I see it as they took a census There was a dais of WWE staff, and they said, this is the direction that people are putting money in. Because while we're just talking about random numbers of money that they're making, WWE has people, probably Nick Khan and Nick Khan's people, that are analyzing every goddamn purchase, every ticket sale, every cheer. There's so much micromanagement of every single fan, where the biggest amount of fans come from, where the biggest parts of the world buy the most merchandise. They are analyzing every fucking line of this like it's crazy hacker code. And that's how they're determining what the future of wrestling is, because it's what the fans want. It's not what wrestling fans want, but it's what the fans with pocketbooks are willing to put money down for.
Well, that and also just company. And at this point, they can send any asshole out there. I mean, we know that, right? Like, like you said, oh, they're putting up these fucking numbers. And it's like Royal Rumble probably had a lot of people watching it. And meanwhile, me and you were running through these list of people and saying, look at this, like honk a clown nose to half these fucking names. They're a joke.
Right.
They're a fucking joke. So they're making money in spite of themselves, but you know that we've said that a million times, but I don't know. There's so many different
wild reasons. But you know what? And I like bad news. Bad news. Brian Long says, remember when Dusty blamed the failure of Crockett's NWA on the CPA? It's the exact same thing. Nah. The people that were the Smoky Mountain guys, the people that were the world-class championship wrestling guys, the old CWA, the old fucking AWA. Yeah, those fans looked at Vince McMahon in the same light. Oh, who the fuck is that? Hulk Hogan? He's no Bruno Sammartino. This is what we're watching. Me and you are literally watching this go down. We're the old heads now, bro.
I know, but you also have to take this into account when you stop and you look at this and you can say, oh, well, you're expecting this, that. How many millions, I should say, did they spend, did WWE spend with this NXT brand thinking that they could make the Smarks happy? Then they could take the happiness of those Smarks, spread it out. Once again, like that Jif peanut butter commercial, spread it out over that main roster, and then they could have their little perfect little sandwich where they could have their casuals and their Smarks and they'd all stand in the crowd and fucking hold hands and scream in unity. That didn't happen. And I think the reality is when it comes down to like the Smark crowd of wrestling, it's no different than in any other sports when you talk about like the purest, you know, like the sports purest, whatever it might be. It's like, right. Well, you know, going back to the UFC thing once again, there were a lot of people. I remember when Ronda Rousey started fighting, they were like, this fucking chick, she's all a gimmick and blah, blah, blah. Right, and it's right. Well, you know, when she fights on your card, we sell 100,000 more buys. So what the fuck do you want us to say?
Yeah. How are you going to be upset at that?
Yeah. And I think that's what's gone on with like the Smart Wrestling. And it's like I said, the purest idea of it, where it's like, you know, as time goes on, all this is going to do is lose you money. That's all you're going to do. Did you see the AEW ratings this week, by the way?
No.
They didn't go up. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I was actually watching some of the AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite here in Chicago. And you know, people are like, oh, look how empty it is. I'm like, first off, I got to give AEW their defense on this one. It was literally happening in the middle of a snowstorm. So
that's very fair. That is very fair.
I look, it's a Chicago snowstorm too, so it's not fucking hell on earth, but and I mean you can get there because it was at the McCormick place or Navy Pier, close by Navy Pier, so it was accessible. But unless you're a city person willing to jump on the subway, you know what I mean, or jump on the fucking L or whatever, you weren't going. Nobody was gonna drive in the middle of that shit. No matter how much they plowed.
Going back to what Andrew was saying, if this is mostly families and young couples, they don't want to get on the fucking train either.
Right.
They don't want to go put up with it. But like,
no, you got to go there and then you got to go back in that shit. Fuck out of here, dude. I'll just watch it on TV and resell my ticket for $5, you know?
Well, look at this. Like, all right.
Okay, we'll talk. Everybody wants us to talk about the Brandy promo, and there's more shit we got to talk about.
Oh, come on, guys, be patient. Be patient.
Did you did you happen to watch that Brandy? Brandy is awesome promo.
Oh, stop! We're talking about the ratings.
Oh, sorry.
For
yes.
A whole minute and a half.
Oh, because ratings. We don't, go ahead. Yes.
I'm not going to talk about the key demos. Oh. I'm not rich enough for that.
The
AEW drew what 954,000 people. Okay, So they were down 13% from last week's episode. And what was the main event? CM Punk versus MJF, which are two of the best workers in the company. They had a great match. And they've been building it up for 2 months.
Yep.
And they lost 13% of their audience.
Yep.
And that's
the
like
biggest
I said,
match in the company. Arguably the biggest match in the company.
Yeah.
And they MJF's
gave it away for free.
MJF.
Nobody watched it.
Yep. CM Punk lost. CM Punk with his first loss.
Yeah. 13% of the audience went down. Once again, like I said. You can go broke trying to make the Smarks happy. And that's more than likely like not, you know, hanging a fucking doom cloud over it too big. But like in a lot of respects, that will be the fate of AEW is they will sit around and they'll do everything. Yeah. Orange Cassidy. Let's have him. He's going to beat Adam Cole by via hug. It's like, all right, you guys keep doing that. See how that works out for you. Mm. I'll give you a hint. Not good. And not just like a shitty match ending like this. Now we can talk about Brandy.